Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance. X Insurance. From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
All right, let's rock and roll. It is the day after garbage day here at the ranch. The Sig Sauer Studios lit up for you. Patriot Mobile, mic on fire. X Insurance presenting it all. We got to move quick in this segment because our guest is we've got her for one segment, Nikki Gosar. Greg, if you would jump in quickly and tell people where to watch us in super high definition now because of a camera upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely. Just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com on the right-hand side of that website. You're going to see the menu icon. Just give it a click, and when that window opens up, select that Watch Live option. If you're driving, hit that Listen Live link. And if you missed a previous episode and you need to get caught up, head on over to the podcast link. If you would like to join our live chat, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Ask me, Greg, why the lens and the new, what to ask me about the camera upgrade.
Oh, well, yeah, you just told me about this before the show. Mark, tell me, how did you upgrade that camera?
I wiped off the lens. Let's go to Nikki Gosar. True story. Nikki Gosar, I love you. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
I love that. Hey, Mark, I just love you so much. Now, I'll tell you a quick funny story. I was sitting here looking, we were talking about guests on the show today, and a couple people bailed and that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, I've got some stories I want to talk about. And then you popped up with a text message just about 40 minutes ago, and you testified yet again in Tennessee. And I said, join me on air today. And you said, I would love to. And Nikki, here you are. So let's get cracking. Because we only have one segment with you, I'm going to make this quick. Nikki is a stalking victim. Her stalker was convicted of murdering her husband right in front of her a number of years ago. And he continued to stalk you through the U.S. Postal Service relentlessly and was then subsequently charged and convicted of federal stalking. How much time did it add to his sentence?
Unfortunately, it was a plea deal and it only added 1 year onto his state prison time.
So this guy walks into a bar, murders your husband in plain view of you and everybody else, and he is set to get out when?
Right now, his release date from state prison is in 2030, and then supposedly he'll serve 1 year in a federal prison for the stalking conviction.
So in 2031, in 7 short years from now, short because sadly 7 years is short, this lunatic walks.
Yes, and it's extremely terrifying, which is why I was at the Tennessee legislature testifying in support of the Lifetime Order of Protection expansion bill. The original bill passed in 2021, and I was actually the very first Tennessean to be granted the Lifetime Order of Protection. That made it so, you know, any of these felony violent crimes, murder, rape, kidnapping, felony assault, victims, you know, after the offender has been convicted, then you can petition to get the lifetime order of protection. I was the very first one. But this year, the legislature decided to expand on that bill and include victims of aggravated stalking, especially aggravated stalking and felony harassment. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, it's just a piece of paper. And I absolutely agree with you. It is just a piece of paper. But I feel like it's still important to have on record. And I always tell victims, look, if you're going to get an order of protection, that's great. It's important to have on record. But do not ever completely rely on an order of protection. You need to have a backup plan. And I personally choose to carry a firearm legally for my own self-defense. I think victims can choose for themselves what will work best for them. But I feel like my basic human right of self-defense is extremely important. I'm not anti-gun. I never blamed the gun. I believe guns are used every day to help save innocent lives. And I really encourage, especially women, who are often victims of these crimes, to, you know, take firearms training, you know, really take it serious, learn about situational awareness and carry to protect yourself if you feel comfortable with that, because it is just a piece of paper.
Well, and let's be real. Sometimes that piece of paper can aggravate the aggravator even more and anger that person even more. Which is why
sometimes
you have to take your own. Yeah, sometimes it does, as you well know, and in many cases, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you have to arm yourself, and why you have a right to. You can choose to do what you want, but Nikki's story is a reason why. Nikki, let me pivot quickly to Lake and Riley. Now, completely different case, but Lake and Riley, and you and I have not talked off air for quite a while, but you might not know this, but Lake and Riley's family lives 2 miles from me. Now, you've been here to the ranch. You have broke bread here. You have barbecued while armed here at the ranch. So you can visualize it, but her family lives 2 miles from her. She's a local resident. We attend church at the very church where her funeral was held just a couple weeks ago. So it hits home to us. And what really hits home to me is the message that you're sending right now, that women should be arming themselves. Now, we have campus carry in Georgia. She was at a place where she could have had a firearm had she chosen to carry one. And it looks back in hindsight, she was able to call 911 during that attack. And it pains me to know that she likely, had she had a firearm, may have been in a position to defend herself that she did not find herself in because she did not have a firearm. Now, you know, again, that's not victim blaming, but I want to make clear to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you have the opportunity and you have the will and the desire, do it. Give yourself that chance, because you and I sat on a panel on Fox News and Susanna Hupp famously said, when we were on that Stossel show together, and you and I and Susanna were on that same panel, when John Stossel asked her, if you had had a gun at the Luby's cafeteria, would it have made a difference? And she said, I don't know, but it would have changed the odds. Right? I mean, isn't that what this is all about, Nikki?
Exactly. Yeah, I truly believe that, you know, everyone has that basic human right of self-defense. And, you know, I believe in carrying. I carry every single day, but unfortunately there are all of these gun-free zones still out there, which hinder good law-abiding people from being able to protect themselves. I think they're very dangerous. I've spoken out about that as well. You know, I still to this day find myself having to go to gun-free zones. I have to go to the post office sometimes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I can't have my gun with me there. I can't even have it locked in my vehicle. So, you know, it's disturbing to me how many gun-free zones are still out there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you're in Tennessee, where I believe you're still in Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Tennessee, no gun signs carry the full weight of law. I mean, you could be charged in Tennessee, or correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there's been a change in the legislature, but as far as I know, just simply walking past that sign in Tennessee is in and of itself a charge. Am I right about that still?
I believe so. You know, good law-abiding people do not want to lose their handgun carry permit. You don't want to lose your ability to protect yourself. And, you know, that's why I did not carry my legal firearm that I normally carried for self-defense. I did not have it on me. I had to leave it locked in my car, because Ben and I were in a restaurant that was a gun-free zone. I followed the law that night. My stalker
did not. Criminal didn't.
Exactly.
Criminal walked right past it and murdered your husband. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to put you on the spot with this, Nikki, but I'll go back to Susanna Hupp again. When she was asked by John Stossel if she would do the same thing again, she said, absolutely not. I would have violated the law. I would have had my gun. I'd rather have my parents alive and a felony conviction if that's what it took. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is decision-making time for you. And when you hear stories like this, I hope it opens your eyes. You do what you want. I'm in a place, and you know, if you've got laws like they have in Tennessee, then do like Nikki does and get out there and fight. for your rights. Any possibility you guys are going to look at changing some of that as far as the gun-free zones? Is that on the move in Tennessee before we go to this break? I know we've only got you for this segment, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. There is a bill before the legislature right now that is dealing with gun-free zones and to make it possible for people who are, you know, legally able to carry to be able to do that and not be prosecuted. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, the good people of Tennessee have you on their side and they have you testifying on their behalf in front of the legislature, and you do incredible work there. Let me quickly give this out. You can watch it on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. Nikki Gozer testimony, Tennessee Senate Judiciary, lifetime order of protection. Go watch it. It's up there now. It's freshly up there, so you can be one of the first to go and see it. I've already seen about three quarters of it, and it's not something you're going to want to miss. Nikki Gozer, thank you so much for everything you do. By the way, your book, Stalked and Defenseless, How Gun Control Helped My Stalker Murder My Husband in Front of Me. Nikki Gozer, you do God's work. I love you so much. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back right after the break. The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, welcome back to the show indeed. Super, super high definition. Simple lens wipes and cleans, man. Great stuff. There was more to it than that, Greg. There really was.
Uh-huh. But
that shirt, it's... hey. I'm lying. There wasn't. I cleaned off the lens. No, there was more. There was an upgrade. It was a camera upgrade. One of those deals. It's kind of cool. I looked at that and said, wow, man, pow, zam. That's pretty neat. Looking pretty fresh. Glad I don't have any zits. And you know how actors feel when those high-definition cameras are on them. Man, it's showing everything. So Nikki's story is crazy. And she answered my question before I could ask it. How do you expand an already lifetime, how do you expand a lifetime bill, right? If it's lifetime, I mean, is that the same as saying you get life plus 30 years? Nobody gives a crap about the 30 years after their life is over.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. When they give sentences to people like that, I'm like, what's the point here?
Make you feel better. It's justice for the victims to say, look, they're getting charged on everything. They got life for this, and then they're going to get 30 years plus this, plus this. But it's all nonsensical. Doesn't make any difference. Death penalty or life, one of the two. And I wrestle with both of those from time to time. I think a life sentence would be far more brutal than being axed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to do time in a Georgia state penitentiary for 20 years, let alone my entire life. Any penitentiary.
Yeah.
Georgia's got a very difficult penitentiary system here. And, you know, I know how Nikki feels about somebody getting out of prison. I had a former employee that worked for me that killed his wife. And did 20 years. 20 years. I've been watching him for 20 years. And he got out November of 2022. No idea where he went. No idea.
On with his life.
It's unnerving. No, I don't think so. He was a resident alien here who I think after a crime like that, that severity, it was a voluntary manslaughter charge. He would likely have been deported to wherever he was from.
Which means he went on with his life somewhere else.
Well, yeah, he's on with his life somewhere else, and he's probably better off wherever that was than he was here. But regardless, yeah, it's you know, it's crazy to think that this guy did what he did, and he is going to see the light of day, even after a federal charge, that he's going to be out in 7 short years. It's mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Most of the time, everybody's sentence ends at some point, and sometimes it's before their death, and they get out.
Yeah, that shouldn't be the case on a murder charge. You shouldn't be able to walk into a bar and kill somebody and see the light of day again.
No, I agree.
You know, I mean, we could debate other sentences for other violent crimes, but that?
Yeah.
No, there should be no light of day at the end of that. There's none. You die in prison, period. Or we kill you before you die in prison. Either way, you still die in prison. I mean, it's that simple, talking about natural death versus death penalty, but which I'm a huge proponent of. In fact, I'll go so far as being radical and say, you want the death penalty to have some teeth to it again? Put it in the public square.
Mm.
Make it count.
Or at least make it painful.
I can't believe he just stood there. Take him off the airwaves. He's a radical lunatic.
A bunch of whiny, crybaby liberals. Kyle Rittenhouse in the news today. You didn't hear this story.
I did not.
Well, Kyle, he's a good kid. I've met him. Nice guy.
It seems like it.
He really is. He's a nice guy. And, you know, your heart goes out to this kid. But unlike George Zimmerman, who I also know well, Kyle kind of laid low. You know, maybe that's just my opinion. It is my opinion, but maybe you feel differently. Did he lay low? I mean, Zimmerman was everywhere after his incident.
I think there was some celebutante with Kyle for a little bit. I mean, he did make the rounds on a few interviews, radio, podcasts like that. You know, I mean, that's obvious, though, because that was immediately after the verdict. And all of us, of course, were in his camp when the verdict came down. We were absolutely thrilled that he was acquitted on all the charges. And, you know, it's going to happen. There's going to be media that's going to reach out and want to know how you feel about the verdict and all that stuff. Obviously, he's elated. But I think you're right. He did kind of, at a certain point, drop off. And then every now and then you might see a pop-up of him somewhere, you know, at an event. And they're like, oh, and here's Kyle Rittenhouse here meeting the governor or meeting these people or whatever. And that's about all you heard from him. So it's not like he was doing the circuit and trying to get a TV show on Fox or anything or Newsmax.
Yeah, and then you see when he pops up, because his name will trend on Twitter from time to time.
Yep.
And when his name pops up on Twitter, what do you see? You see these people say that, oh, he's a murderer, he's a killer. Well, no, he's not. He was found by a jury not guilty of what they say he is, under law, by a jury of his peers. And you look at the videos of people attacking him with skateboards and a kid pulling a handgun on him was going to kill him, and he responded by firing a shot.
Well, the thing is people that think he's a murderer never saw the videotapes that we saw. They never even followed the trial.
It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. Those are the people that are going to vote for Biden if he falls down tomorrow and can't speak. They're still going to vote for him. Those people, that you can't reach those people. Yeah, those are the people you walk away from. But, I mean, if you got honest people out there that would look at it and see it and go, oh, I never saw the video. I just heard what everybody told me. I guess I'll admit that.
Right? I have seen a few of those on the internet. I have seen a few people that say, I finally watched the trial highlights.
Good.
Or they finally watched the testimony of the trial. Or they're like, hey, there was a video that was put together of all the cell phone footage that was basically covered everything that happened on the street that day. And boy, was I wrong. I was completely misled by the media. And then those are people that you see that are advocating for people to do deeper dives in information when the media starts presenting things. And they have an awakening moment, and I love it. I love seeing that.
Yeah, it's good to know that they're out there.
Yep.
I've talked to a few myself, too. But, you know, you go to those people that do, they don't care. They don't care about the truth. They got something in their mind. Everything, you know, you can watch it a million times. Those are the same people that would vote for Biden if he wasn't even on the ticket, okay? They're going to continue to do that nonsense.
Well,
they're out there, it's sad.
But they're the people that believe all the charges against Trump.
Yeah, they believe Fani. Notice how it's not Fanny anymore, but it's Fani.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the media changed it?
Yeah.
It's no longer Fanny Willis, now it's Fani. I guess Fanny's too funny. Instead of saying Fanny, you have to say Fani because Fani is better than, is not as funny as saying Fanny. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, everybody was starting to call her Big Fanny on the internet, and she was not, didn't like it. Not a fan of it, so she wasn't.
I could make a joke about that, but I'm not going to. We're going to move on to Kyle Rittenhouse. He's back in the news because he's now calling on Congress to abolish the ATF after the agency's firearm expert fails to field strip a Glock. Now, you know, he's going to draw a lot of ire from a lot of people for saying that because he's Kyle Rittenhouse, but what we were just talking about. But he did post a video up to X, formerly known as Twitter, I guess we still say that, in which he blasted the ATF firearm expert Chris Bort for failing to field strip the Glock handgun. On that recent
we did
Face
that.
The Nation appearance. Yeah.
We did that week after.
Yeah, you know, Kyle coming out, you know, his tweet was kind of fun. The ATF is a joke. Pound, you know, hashtag, abolish the ATF, and then he put the video out. Well, you know, I'm not going to play the video for you. You can go see it if you have that stupid forum, Twitter. If you don't, certainly don't join it to watch it. Trust us, we're giving you what the exact tweet said.
The video is out there, and you can see the tweet also.
You can see the video, yeah. You can click in there and see it. But by golly, don't go out and get that nonsense if you don't have to have it, please. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will be back. We've got two more segments to go. Don't go away. Lots of fun stuff to cover for you. We'll get to it after this break. 4 minutes on the flip side. See you in just a couple minutes.
If I could have gotten 51 votes, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
All right, hold on 1 second while I take a sip of a sugar-free Red Bull. Don't do that during the break, Mark. Wait until you come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Got to be done on air.
Why wait? Why would I do that?
I don't know.
There's a sign right here, too. Says, no food or drink in studio.
I was going to say that.
True. Welcome back, Sig Sauer Studio. And Patriot Mobile Microphone. Looking around here, I'm hearing some noises. All brought to you by X Insurance. Welcome back in, guys. Let's keep cracking. What does AWR say about being dumb?
Look, if you're going to be dumb, don't be dumb in Texas. It's a bad state to be dumb in.
So this is a story that, ew, and we're going to go here. Because it's an age thing. 16-year-old shot dead while allegedly trying to steal a car in Texas.
Ooh.
16-year-old male was killed 3 days ago trying to steal a car around 2:20 a.m. from a San Antonio, Texas apartment complex. KSAT in San Antonio is where I first saw this, and then AWR picked it up and wrote about it. The incident occurred at the Reserve San Antonio apartment complex. The cops are saying the owner of the car heard glass breaking outside his apartment and went to investigate. When he got out there, he found a 16-year-old kid. I'm sure he didn't know how old the kid was. Allegedly sitting in his car trying to steal it. The owner believed the 16-year-old was armed, so he fired at the suspect, striking him once and killing him. So it was a good shot. It was a 16-year-old Adam Tino Arroyo. The cops have not yet said, listener, whether or not Arroyo had a gun on him. Now, you get to the media. We know what happens when the media leaves certain things out, right?
Yep.
We can tell you who the killer is because the media didn't. So you already know. That's just what the media does. They've outed themselves. The fact that they didn't say whether he had a gun on him, does that tell you he had a gun on him?
Or potentially a weapon.
Yeah. Now, Texas law makes it clear you can protect property with deadly force, does it not, Greg? We've had these conversations before.
It does.
Here's the difference, maybe, and I don't know. It's the nuance of Texas law. I'd probably talk to an attorney based in Texas. But it's an apartment complex. He hears glass breaking. He goes outside, carries his firearm outside. So he goes to the scene of what is going to be, in a matter of seconds, a shooting scene, a crime scene.
Well, he can open carry here, so it's lawful.
So this is why I want to bring these things up. Because let me give you my agenda. Liberals are going to hate this, but I really don't care. I don't care if he's 15, 12, 16, 25, 105. Doesn't matter to me. There's no other life form on this planet lower than a thief. And if you're out stealing somebody's crap, boy, you better expect what might come your way. Whether or not the person who kills you did it legally or not is not going to matter to you at that moment. Is it, Greg?
Nope.
You're dead. Now, this is going to be interesting to follow up. I have a feeling that AWR will follow up on this. I probably won't get another alert on this, but I definitely will with AWR. Now, let me get your thoughts on that. Just take the whole scenario in an apartment complex, glass breaking. Now, I don't even know. I mean, what would I do if I heard glass breaking in an apartment complex? I'd probably go and see what was going on, right?
Yep.
And would I walk outside if it were someone else's car I mean, you know, you got to look at it this way. What were the odds it was his car, too, in an apartment complex? There are a lot of cars in the parking lot.
Yeah, but if they're breaking out that driver's side window, it's probably not going to be their vehicle.
In this case, it was.
Was it? So yeah. What did he do, lock his keys in his car?
Well, there's a disconnect here in our communication. What we've got here is failure to communicate. I think you and I are on the wrong page here. The guy inside the house heard glass breaking, went outside, and saw somebody trying to steal his car.
Okay.
What I'm saying is the odds that he heard the glass breaking and it wound up being his car in a packed parking lot is kind of unusual. That's where I was going. So it apparently was. Unless I missed something. Let me go back here. Let's see.
So he witnessed a guy stealing his vehicle when he heard the glass breaking.
Yeah, he heard the glass break. It wound up being his car.
All right. So we're moving on to I'm defending my property.
There you go.
Well, another way to look at this is most people would agree that the two largest investments that that citizens make are in their home and in their car, their vehicle. And that's the most expensive investment. So essentially, that is potentially a large monetarily investment that is being damaged and potentially stolen from them. It could be tens of thousands of dollars. It could be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Depending on the vehicle, it could be $100,000. So how do you defend a item that is that pricey from someone that is willing to take it from you at all costs?
What happened to horse thieves? And I can hear listeners. There's a listener out there somewhere right now going, man, we used to hang horse thieves.
I mean,
stealing a horse back in the day was seen as one of the worst things you could do. Being a horse thief got you hung.
Well, livestock back then were not cheap, and oftentimes you were looking for a specific breed of horse. Now that's going to be a very
and it was someone's livelihood.
Yep, and it's your investment. It's your livelihood.
Now, let's go back to the car and the investment. Greg, could the guy that works at the apartment? See, you can surmise a lot of things here, right? I'm going to guess that somebody that lives in an apartment complex doesn't have a whole bunch of money.
That or they
which
have,
which means work is very important to them. Can he get to work without his car? If he came out in the morning and saw broken glass and couldn't get to work, doesn't that impact his ability to make a living?
It does. And thinking about the amount of hours of his life he is going to have to invest into his employer in order to pay off that multiple $1,000 investment that is about to be stolen from him by that thief in the parking lot.
Let's assume you never get it back. Oh, you got insurance. Thief's like, yeah, you got insurance. Yeah, you never get made completely whole with insurance. You got to go back out and buy a new car, Holmes.
People that say that insurance will cover it are people that have never had insurance or had an investment covered by insurance.
Yeah, and you would better hope that you've got investment money in there, but they're going to pay off the value of the car. You got to go out and buy a new car.
Yep. And what if that's a one-of-a-kind vehicle that you can't get that the manufacturer does not make anymore, or there was a limited run of them?
Thief going to give you the money? You going to sue the thief civilly for money for a down payment? You're going to have to cough it up? But I don't mean to make that assumption about the apartment complex and all that. I'm just it's a generality, right? That, you know, if you're living in an apartment, you're probably not banging home big, huge bucks. Or you probably wouldn't be living in an apartment complex. Or you're young and you're just getting started in life. And that investment is huge to you, as you just mentioned. That's a big deal. That's your horse. And nowadays, you call 911 for a stolen car in some states, they don't even show up.
Nope. They barely even take a report.
You can't get to work. And think you get a police report a week from now if you're lucky? What's that going to do for your insurance? How are you getting to work? Maybe the car is your work. Maybe you drive for Uber. Maybe you deliver pizzas. I delivered pizzas for years in college. I couldn't deliver pizzas without my car.
Maybe you're a biomedical delivery kind of person. You made decent money doing that, but you live in an apartment because you don't want to be a homeowner. And vehicle is your investment.
Yeah. Here's the public service announcement. If you're listening to this program and you're contemplating stealing somebody's car, also contemplate the fact that you might be made dead in the process. And this radio host is going to have zero sympathy for you at all because you ain't nothing but a run-of-the-mill, rotten, low-life thief. and you got what was coming to you because you put yourself in that position. Oh, my God. Can't believe there's people. Think of Stupid Lady. Do we have the Stupid Lady tape, Greg? Maybe we can play that when we come back. No, we don't have it? Well, I'll just pretend to be Stupid Lady when we come back, and I'll tell you exactly what she had to say in contrast to what I just said. We'll be right back.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, hold on. I just did it again. Hold on a second. I don't know why I'm waiting.
Because everybody wants to hear you gulp on air.
Busy. I know. Isn't that terrible? Busy, busy, busy during the breaks. Well, just get over it, guys. It's okay. I mean, you drink stuff, too, you know? It's not like we're making unusual sounds. Welcome back to the 6 Hour Studios, the Patriot Mobile mic. Hey, real quick on Patriot Mobile, Greg, you'll like this, and listeners, you will too. So I supplied all of the information necessary to get the changeover done today, and I needed to give them a couple other numbers, there's transfer numbers and stuff like that. My phone service was kind of complicated because I have multiple lines and a couple different accounts and all that fun stuff. So we're in the process of doing that right now. And I'm looking forward to telling you in the very near future that we're now on Patriot Mobile. So that's going to be fun. I like stuff like that. Because if I can take money away from a woke company, I'm going to do it with glee. Gleefully do it. Bye. Isn't that what we have to do, Greg?
Yeah, we've got to.
We can talk about taking, you know, we got to take it back, we got to do it. But if you don't go out there and put your money where your mouth is, literally put your money where your mouth is, you're not, all you're doing is blowing hot air. And I mean, you know, we provide the opportunity to do that. And I hope some of you do that. I hope all of you do that, quite frankly. It's not that difficult of a process. In fact, it's quite simple. They make it super easy. Here's what we need. Boom, 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 boom. Me, it was just a matter of time and getting everything together so that I could get all the numbers and everything that I needed. And I forwarded everything over. I still have one or two more to go, but I'm waiting to find out what it is specifically that I need. But once that process is done, it's done. And guess what? No more woke company. It's just a relief to know that I'm not paying someone to help screw me out of my rights. I don't know. It's a no brainer, Greg. Go ahead. You were going to say something. Sorry.
I don't know. You got me off track there. So let's just move on.
Oh, so moving on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So Aaron Rodgers.
Moving on.
Aaron Rodgers. I quit watching football a long time ago, but I know who he is. There was a report out on the 13th, which was yesterday, that Aaron Rodgers claimed Sandy Hook never happened. Did you see this? This is a bizarre story.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers, I remember seeing a short clip of him being interviewed by somebody a while back, and this is months, about him talking about the Alex Jones situation and talking about Sandy Hook, and I hope this is kind of taken out of context initially, but I have not seen the full entire interview, so I'm not certain.
Well, it was on CNN.
Right.
And CNN reported it anyway, was what I'm looking at. Now, let me go over to that CNN report, because you got to understand the headlines you're looking at here, guys. You heard that RFK is considering Aaron Rodgers as a vice presidential prospect, right?
No.
Yeah. Oh, true. All true. And that's been making the rounds over the last few days. And by the way, the Democrats are petrified of RFK's candidacy as a third party. They're petrified.
Absolutely, they are.
Because those voters would normally go to Biden. I'm not so sure about that. But nonetheless, they're terrified. RFK, this is from CNN Politics. RFK Jr.'s VP prospect, Aaron Rodgers, has shared false Sandy Hook conspiracy theories in private conversations. Now, the takeaway from this headline is in private conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. You can talk about whatever you want in private.
And how do you know what you talk? How does somebody else know? Greg, if you and I have a private conversation, does anybody know it was private?
Yeah, no.
So anything that might come out of a supposed private conversation is nothing but hearsay.
They could be completely making this up, too.
Would completely inadmissible in court.
Yep.
Objection, Your Honor. Hearsay. Sustained. continue on. I mean, that's generally the way it goes because I watch TV. Right? That sounded kind of fun. Objection, Your Honor. Hearsay. Sustained. I've warned you three times. Move on.
So, moving on.
There you go. But that is, it's hearsay. And as you know, in your own personal lives, guys, when you hear something two and three times down the road, it's always embellished. If you've ever had a conversation with my mother, you know that. It's changed three times. By the time she gets it, she changes it 50 times, right? But that is truly hearsay. So you don't even have to get past the headline on CNN going, then you can throw in there, oh, it's also CNN. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has confirmed that among his potential vice presidential prospects is New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who in private conversations shared deranged conspiracy theories about the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting not being real. CNN knows of two people with whom Rodgers has enthusiastically shared these stories, including with Pamela Brown, one of the journalists writing this piece. And they go on to say that Brown was covering the Kentucky Derby in 2013 when she was introduced to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, and?
Who at that time was with the Green Bay Packers,
yep.
And they were at a post-Derby party. What goes on at all Derby parties?
Drinking.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, I'll have another one. Okay. Hearing, according to CNN, that she was a journalist with CNN, Rodgers immediately began attacking the news media for covering up important stories, bringing up the tragic killing of 20 children and six adults by a gunman at Sandy Hook, claiming it was actually a government inside job, and the media was intentionally ignoring it. Now, this is at a supposedly, I guess, from what we hear here, was a private conversation between those two, which would be considered, I guess, kind of off the record, maybe?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, well, you know, that has to be stated. And here's these two at a party having a conversation. So let's just dig a little bit deeper.
Did they mention the St. Rose Academy in any of this?
Well, here's my deal. Why is it taking till now to get it out? Because JFK...
Yep.
Or timing. RFK is running for president against their man, Biden.
Timing.
Oh, let's throw this conversation we had out 11 years ago. I can make him look really bad. These are the things he said. Well, guess what? You dig a little bit deeper and you find out that Aaron Rodgers denies ever suggesting Sandy Hook attack was a hoax. On Wednesday, according to Breitbart, Rodgers, pointing to a CNN report claiming that he had once said Sandy Hook never happened, Roger says, as I'm on the record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have never been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will allow us to, and he goes on about stopping these types of events, etc., to prevent unnecessary loss of life. My thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected, along with the entire Sandy Hook community. And then he put a heart emoji up. So he said, she said. But I found it interesting that CNN decides to throw that out there right now, less than 48 hours after RFK made it clear that Aaron Rodgers was on his short list as a vice presidential candidate. Do you think that's coincidence, Greg?
Oh, I don't know about all that.
No. CNN doing what CNN does to try to torpedo somebody else's campaign because, well, guess what? He's running against Joe Biden.
Do we even know for sure that RFK has said that Aaron Rodgers was a consideration?
Apparently he did. Many, many outlets are reporting that. Apparently he did let out a short list and Rodgers.
Not
name
the
was
Mockingbird
on it.
Media saying.
Well, you know, you got to take all that with a grain of salt. But at the same time, Rodgers' response to that, if you look at it closely, seemed like it was very political. Okay. Uh-huh. His response. So it appears to me that they might be talking behind the scenes. Anyway, interesting stuff. We've got another hour, guys. When we get back, we're about 6 minutes after, we're going to talk about some more fun stuff. Don't go away.
Bye.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.